following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
Simple math, they were trying to teach subtraction, and she gave an example, and she said, now this was in a rural community, right, where a lot of farmers were and so on, and she said to them, what if you had 10 sheep in a corral, and one of them jumped out, how many would you have left? And little boy thought, and he said, none. She said, no. You have 10, one jumps out, how many are left? She said, you'd have none. She said to him, you don't know much about math, do you? And he said, well, teacher, you don't know much about sheep. Because you know, as one does, so do the others do. We're a bunch of sheep. It's what the Bible tells us, right? We're used as a metaphor, an example all the time. We are the sheep, and we have the good shepherd. And we do have a good shepherd. It says in the Bible, behold, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you remember me telling you about how shepherds look after their sheep at night in Palestine? And how they bring them into a corral, and usually this is it's like a stony pen, so it's got stone walls all the way around. It's in a circle. I think you can turn that down just a bit, David. It's humming a little bit. And these walls are about 7 feet high, maybe 8 feet high. They have brambles at the top and around the sides. And there's only one gate, and that gate is fairly narrow. And all the sheep go inside the pen. And then you know what the shepherd does? The shepherd actually lays down in front of the gate, right on the ground, so that he puts himself between danger and the sheep that he's protecting. And so if a wolf or some kind of ravenous beast should come, they first have to get through the shepherd and encounter the shepherd. And in some instances, depending on what kind of vermin they meet in that particular part of the country, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We just had the 23rd Psalm read. There's so much richness in that psalm. And I want to share just a little bit of that with you today. And we're only going to just skim the surface, believe me, because there's so much more. But the 23rd Psalm is so rich. Not in only what it says, but in what it means for you and I as followers of Jesus. Before we do that, though, I want you to take a look at this picture. And I want you to pay particular attention to the car. Now, you may not be able to see the license plate on that car, but watch if I was able to expand it. Can you see what it says? Died for me. D-I-E-D for me. My son Stephen found that the other day when he was driving around doing his UPS route in Hamilton area. And he said, you know, what an opportunity for a conversation with someone. If they ask, what's that all about? Who died for you? And isn't that a wonderful lead-in to sharing the Lord with someone else? And last week we talked about opportunities to share our faith. Well, the Good Shepherd is someone who is worth talking about and sharing about. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If you ever want to look that up, that's in the Gospel of John. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now that's both something that's absolutely unbelievable, and at the same time, it's a statement of the obvious, right? The unbelievable part is that the very God who is the creator of everything would have an interest in you and I such that he would lay down his life, send his son to die for us on the cross. So it's both an unbelievable statement and yet a statement of fact that our Lord Jesus came to Calvary and died for us. And when we have the Lord Jesus, we have all we need. We want for nothing. And here's the thing. If my needs are supplied, it's enough. If my needs are not supplied, it's still enough. Because he has bought me with a price, and that's enough, and that's everything. So when you have the Lord, the Good Shepherd, you have it all. You have all that you need. He is indeed our Good Shepherd. And I shall want for nothing, because when you have the Lord, you have everything. But here's the thing. We need to be content with his management, because he has bought us with a price. And God is good all the time. And his management of our life is such that it will lead us in a direction that will constantly draw us closer to him. It's not an insurance policy against evil things happening to us or bad things. It's not the health and wealth gospel. You got to get rid of that. Anytime you hear that health and wealth gospel on TV or the radio or so on, get as far away as you can from it, because it is not the truth. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And in the process of doing that, you will want for nothing, because you'll have it all. You'll have Jesus. One day I was standing outside of the kindergarten class, and it was the first day of school, and our secretary had her little daughter come. Name was Abby, and this was Abby's first day at kindergarten, and she was a little bit nervous and shy, and she was clinging to her grandma. And finally her grandma, who was my secretary, said to her, Abby, I have to go down the hallway and go to the office and do my work. You're going to have to go into the classroom. And Abby immediately let go of her grandma's hand, and she looked at her grandma, and she said, that's okay. I'm not afraid. I have Jesus. And little five-year-old Abby walked into the classroom. When you have Jesus, when you have the Lord, you have everything. When you choose the Lord, the Good Shepherd, you do have all that you need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep will only lie down if four things are present. And those four things are, if I can get this to work, there we go. They have to be free from fear. It's the first thing. And the second thing is they have to be free from friction and tension within the flock. Third thing, they have to be free from pests and aggravation. And the fourth is they have to be free from hunger. And the Good Shepherd looks after all of those things. So let's talk about fear, first of all. When one sheep panics, all the rest panic too. Absolutely pandemonium. And nothing calms the sheep more than the presence of the shepherd. And as the shepherd walks amongst the sheep calm down and they experience their peace. And they're not afraid any longer because the Good Shepherd is in their presence. And in Scripture, his care and concern is beyond all comprehension. And so when he walks amongst the sheep, he makes sure to observe all that they need and makes sure to pay attention to those things that need to be tended to. And the sheep have no fear. And you know, friction, there's friction among sheep like there is amongst people too. There's friction in the sense that you have what you call a pecking order, right? And you always have usually one old ewe that wants to be the head of the flock and wants to be at the lead, at the head all the time. And then you have others who kind of push their way into a kind of pecking order. They sort of butt their way into position. And when sheep start to do that, they become restless and they're jockeying for position. But when the Good Shepherd walks amongst them, all of that ceases. And the restlessness is gone. And they're immediately calmed by the presence of the Good Shepherd. And when it comes to pests and aggravations, which was the third one on the list, a shepherd needs to bathe the sheep and to make sure that they've got disinfectants and so on and keep them from bugs and ticks so that they're not annoyed. And you know, in our life too, we have a lot of annoyances. We have a lot of things that seem to just get at us and drive at us, and we labor over things that really aren't important. We have lots of distractions in life, and the only thing that can really calm us is the Good Shepherd. Is a relationship with our Lord, walking closely with him, and having that confidence that he is our Good Shepherd. And what about hunger? If a sheep is really hungry, they will look for food anywhere that they can get it. And usually in the area, in Palestine, most of those areas are very arid. And there isn't a lot of thick grass. And there's a lot of things that are not good for a sheep to consume. But the shepherd is always on the lookout for the good pasture and make sure that their hunger and their needs are looked after. And the only way that they experience that peace and contentment is when the good shepherd looks after their hunger and their need and fills them, just like you and I. We're hungry too. Many people don't know that they're hungry. They haven't had a relationship with God. They don't know Him. They don't love Him. They don't recognize His presence. But when you have that presence of the Spirit in your life, you hunger for nothing. And the Good Shepherd meets that hunger every time. I mentioned just last week, I think it was, about a friend of mine who was the pharmacist in Killaloo, who never knew Jesus, raised as a Muslim. He was 53, wasn't even looking for Jesus. And Jesus appeared to him. And after Jesus appeared to him and he came to know Jesus as the Good Shepherd, I'll tell you, his life has changed. It's absolutely different. There's peace and contentment, and there's a fire in his heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he's come to know the Good Shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep need water. They need fresh water. We all do. But you know, a sheep will not drink from a fast-flowing stream. It has to be still, calm waters, or they will not drink. Because sheep, you know, they have no, if they were to fall in, they would immediately drown, because all that water just kind of, all those spaces, those air spaces between their wool fills up, and they immediately sink to the bottom, so they're very fearful of water. So they only drink at a very calm stream. And the good shepherd is constantly on the lookout, knowing where those good streams are and where those calm springs are, and takes the time to lead those sheep into those places where they feel safe to drink. And you know, we too, we need that water of the Spirit of God. We need that water in our life. Just like us, we like sheep have gone astray. And sometimes we drink from brackish streams where the water is not good and where the water leads us to sickness and distance from family and frustration and hatred. But it's only the good water of the Holy Spirit that will really refresh us and heal us from within. We need that fresh water. And did you know the sheep usually grazes just before dawn? Because it's at that time when the grass is most full with dew. And so as it eats, it grazes too, because it also quenches its thirst by eating the dew on the grass. I have a good friend by the name of Debbie who lives in Waterloo. Every morning she's up at 3 and 3:30 in the morning praying. She said she has such a busy life, she asked the Lord, when can I pray? And the Lord said, 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, okay. You know, she's been doing that for about 15 years. She rises in the morning, she dedicates her life to Christ, to the Good Shepherd, and then she goes forward with her day. And that is absolutely refreshing. To see her, to speak with her, you know that she walks closely with her Lord. You ever heard of a cast sheep? A cast sheep. The word cast. It's a term that describes a sheep that is absolutely helpless. And usually what happens is if a sheep lies down and is not careful that it's lying on a level place, if there's a small indentation there, as it's lying down, it's the possibility, because its center of gravity is very different in a sheep, and it'll actually roll over and be upside down on its back. And if the shepherd doesn't get there in time, the sheep dies. And so the shepherd is always on the lookout for those sheep that are cast, that have inadvertently somehow rolled over into an indentation in the ground and have their 4 feet up in the air and are dying. And what he does is he goes over to them and he turns them right side up and he puts them between his legs and he gently strokes them and he gently rubs their legs to get the blood flow back into their feet. And he gently brings them back to health again. And that's exactly what the good Lord does for us when we feel cast, when we feel down, when we feel depressed. Depression is at epidemic proportions in our society today. And when you're depressed, you feel sometimes farthest away from your family and from your Lord, and you feel like everything is dark. And there's times when you feel like the good Lord is embarrassed of you or judges you for feeling that way, but he doesn't. He loves you. And he will gently come beside you and he will gently enfold you in his arms and he will restore your mind and your thinking and your health. I know. I've told you before I've had that experience. I went through a very deep depression when I was in my first few years of ministry. No idea why it happened. It's just there. And I could never see myself in the pulpit again. I could never see myself ever even entering the church again because I was so fearful. And I remember praying, Lord, take this away, Lord, why is this happening, and so on and so forth. But it wasn't until I started to pray, Lord, thank you for this. I don't know why. I don't know why this is happening, but I have confidence that you will use it. And gradually, I was restored, just like a cast sheep. He gently massaged my spirit and my heart, and he brought me back to full health. And praise God for that, because you know, now I have a deep sense of understanding and appreciation for other people who go through depression. And throughout my ministry, I've been able to sit with them and walk beside them, because I have some sense of how they're feeling and what it's like. But that's the good shepherd that we have. He doesn't belittle us for the problems that we have. He's desperate to help us because he is the good shepherd. I'm going to go a little quickly here. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, sheep can quickly overgraze a pasture because they just eat and eat and eat and eat, and eventually, before you know it, all of the grass is chewed right down to the bottom, and it'll destroy a pasture. So the shepherd has to move the sheep constantly from place to place. And very often, he has to take them from one hillside down into a valley, up into another hillside, and he's going through places where the paths are very difficult, where the danger is very real for the sheep, where it's very easy for them to fall into a crag or into a crevice. And that's when the shepherd takes his staff and reaches down, and he takes the crook of the staff and catches the sheep just underneath the front legs and gently lifts the sheep up out of the crevice onto the path again. And the shepherd continues to lead the sheep through the places that are the most difficult and dangerous, but he does it in such a loving, caring way that he watches to make sure everyone is okay. Isn't that what the good Lord does for us too? A lot of dangerous places we go through in life, a lot of hardship, a lot of pain, a lot of loss. And I don't know about you, but I sure have felt many times when the good Lord has reached down with his staff and it's just as if he's hooked me underneath my arms and lifted me up and put me back on the pathway again and pointed me in the right direction. Did you know that shepherds in western part of the world, in North America and so on, the way they look after their sheep is they walk behind the sheep, and they and their dogs and so on drive the sheep forward. But you know what the shepherds do in Palestine? They walk ahead of the sheep. They lead the sheep. They're always first in front if there's any danger, so that they can be there to protect the sheep. And that's what the shepherd does for us. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Do you notice the word through? Doesn't say he walks us into the valley of the shadow of death. It says he walks us through the valley of the shadow of death, safely to the other side. In Palestine, in those very arid areas, in those desert-like areas, they have what they call wadis, which are valleys between mountains and hills. And normally they're dry as a bone, and they're just very, very dry, and the earth is just compact, and it's very easy to walk on as long as it's dry. But then it can turn into a raging torrent. If there's a storm just up ahead of the wadi, and that water just comes rushing through, and it's a danger, not just a danger, but it's a death trap for sheep. And it can happen so fast. You can be walking through that wadi, and it could all of a sudden start to come down the wadi, and the water comes, and the shepherd could lose his flock. And so the shepherd always has his eye on the weather. And he dares not take his sheep from one valley, or I should say, from one mountaintop to the other, through that valley until he knows that the weather is safe and there's not going to be any flash floods. Because the good shepherd is always looking after the safety of the sheep. And he leads them safely through to the other side. And that's exactly what the good shepherd does for us, right? Death is not the final enemy. Just a few days ago, we celebrated the life of Anna, but most of all, we celebrated her faith and the fact that even now, as we sit here in this church, she's already enjoying the reward that was promised to her. And she is safely through the other side. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd has two things. Let me move this forward to the next slide. Very often we only think of the staff, you know, the crook on the end of the stick. He also has a rod, and that's a heavier, thicker stick. And the rod is for protection, and the staff is for comfort and healing. And the neat thing that he does with the staff, as I've told you already, when they're walking through those dangerous pathways and a sheep falls down in a crevice, he'll use that staff to reach down and bring them back up to safety. But you know what else the shepherd will do? During the spring, when the sheep are having their lambs, there's many mother ewes and many little lambs walking around, and they tend to get separated from each other. And do you know that the good shepherd knows which little lamb belongs to which ewe? He does. And as he walks through that flock, he'll see this little lamb over here that belongs to this sheep. And he'll reach with his staff and he'll pick up that little lamb and he'll gently place it beside its mother. And he'll go from little lamb to make sure that they're not separated from what they need most. And that's what he does with his staff. What does he do with the rod? The rod is for protection. It's for beating off any kind of enemy, wolf, wild dog, whatever they might encounter. But the shepherd is always ready to use both of those for the benefit of the sheep. But you know what he also uses the rod for? And sometimes we don't like to hear this, but sometimes sheep just kind of wander away, right? When they feed, they've got their heads down and they don't see where they're going. They just go to the next blade of grass. And before you know it, they might wander away. Or you might have a sheep that's a little bit wayward and likes to kind of wander off. And that's dangerous because then he might lead other sheep with him. And so what the shepherd does is he watches for this, and if he sees a sheep grazing a little too far or wandering away, he'll take that rod and he'll throw it. He won't throw it to hit the sheep. He'll throw it to land close to the sheep and enough to get its attention. The staff is the crook. The rod is the long stick. Yeah, that's what he does. But he uses those for the purposes of getting our attention. Sometimes God does that to us too. We start to wander away from his ways, and we know maybe that we're not doing what we should be doing, or we know that perhaps this is an area that we shouldn't be exploring, especially according to our faith. And sometimes he does something to get our attention and to turn us around and to bring us back. That's the good shepherd. We're getting close to the end. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Did you know that a lot of the pastures in Palestine where they graze are kind of like mesas? They're sort of like raised areas, maybe 5 or 6 feet up where the pasture is. And the sheep will go up there to graze. And the shepherd is always walking around the edge to make sure that there's no wolf or dog or whatever to come up over and to grab a sheep. And he always keeps vigilant for the dangers that are there. And he prepares. He goes ahead of the sheep. Weeks before he takes the sheep to pasture, he's there. He's preparing that pasture. He's taking away any rocks that might be in the way, any sticks that might poke an eye or whatever as a sheep is grazing. He goes there and he prepares those tables for the sheep. And while the sheep are grazing there, they're completely comfortable. Like, even though there might be danger around them, their enemies around them, they know that the good shepherd is on watch. And you know, for us, there's many dangers in life. There's a lot of voices out there calling to us. There's a lot of mixed messages out there. Sadly, there's a lot of misinterpretation. And there's a lot of messages that come to us, even on television, on the radio, that twist the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we become confused. And we need to go back to the scripture to test out those things. As scripture tells us, we need to be able to look at our own faith and check out that with scripture to make sure that it complies. And there's a lot of things out there that can draw us away. But if you always dedicate your life to the good shepherd and trust in his care and desire to learn, and as Nathan said, do his commandments as he has called us to do, where the Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. James says, true religion is to look after the widows and orphans and to keep yourself apart from the corrupt world. And as we do those things, the good shepherd walks along us and prepares those areas for us, areas of ministry, where we can make a difference in our world. Now, anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The most vulnerable place on a sheep is the head, because there's hardly any wool there. It's very thin. And very often, as I said, sheep will graze with their heads down, and they could bump into some brambles or thorns, or even maybe a serpent that strikes them on the head. And that's where they tend to get infections and so on. And the good shepherd is always looking for those injuries on a sheep, and constantly bathes those in oil, because oil is a healing agent. And he puts oil on their foreheads, and he heals them. And he watches for infection, and he nurses them. And that's what a good shepherd does for the sheep. And that's exactly what the good shepherd does for us. May not be our heads that we hurt, but it might be our heart, might be our ego. It might be our character that has been challenged. Maybe we have people who are persecuting us falsely or accusing us falsely. We have all those things that come at us in life, and we're not exempt from them just because we love our Lord. In fact, sometimes when we love our Lord, those things come at us with a vengeance. But it's the good Lord who applies his healing touch to our heart and to our spirit, and leads us through life and brings us safely through the valley of the shadow of death to the other side. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, so that we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When a sheep loves and trusts its shepherd, it has no desire to belong to anyone and anyone else. One time a tourist was going through Palestine, and he noticed that there was about 3 or 4 shepherds with their flocks at a place where they're drinking still water. And the sheep had intermingled with each other, so the flocks were all mixed up. And he noticed that the shepherd would stand up and he would say, "Mana." And all he would have to do was to say that, and his flock would separate themselves from the sheep and follow him. Then the second shepherd would do the same, and he'd say, "Mana," and the sheep would separate themselves and follow him. So he went over to one of the shepherds and said, "Can I try something?" He said, "I want to put on your cloak, and I want to take your staff and your rod." And he said, "I want to be able to call and see if your sheep will come." So he called manna, and he called manna again, which I think means come. They ignored him altogether. And the shepherd standing next to him, without his cloak, without his staff, without his rod, said one thing. He said, manna. And all of his flock separated from the rest and followed. Scripture says, I know the voice, I know my own, and my own know me. And when you love the good shepherd, you learn to hear his voice, and you know when it's calling to you, and you know when it's inspiring you to do something. And when that voice speaks to you, listen and follow it. Because the voice of the Lord is powerful. And it may call you to places you don't want to go or to things you don't want to do. But when it speaks, listen. And the closer you walk with the Lord, the more you will know that voice. Okay, before you fall asleep, see the young people over here, they're kind of snoozing. They brought pillows with them, I see, over here, just so they could take it easy. There was a person who was very well at speaking. In fact, they were a public speaker. They were starred in many plays, and they were just excellent at voice and at being able to say the right thing. And they were at a Bible study once, and the person who was leading the Bible study asked that person to recite the 23rd Psalm. And so this gentleman stood up and he recited it with great eloquence. And when he was finished, everybody clapped. And then there was an older gentleman there, a fellow who was a laborer all his life, never really accomplished much in the eyes of the world. And he said, could I recite that psalm? And he stood up and he spoke the 23rd Psalm. And when he finished, there was absolute silence. And there were tears running down the faces of some of the people there. And the first man that spoke the psalm stood up, and he said, I want you to pay attention to this. And he pointed to the man who had just recited the psalm. He said, the difference here is, he said, I know the psalm. But this man, he knows the shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray that this psalm would speak to our hearts, that it would be a reminder to us that indeed you are the good shepherd. And Father, indeed, when we have you, we want for nothing. And may you inspire our hearts and bring us ever closer to you. May we just desire you so much that you become everything in our life. And that all of our decisions and so on center around the relationship we have with you. We just ask, Father, that you would help us to understand, to know, and to draw close to the Good Shepherd. That your Son, Jesus, would become everything to us. Everything. And we pray this in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.